two full days together, having what I think has been really an incredible experience. I was particularly moved by the conversations that have gone on, especially today. The intimacy, the depth, the trust that we were able to find with one another, I think has really been remarkable. I just have a few things to offer by way of comment, particularly about today's program. Charlie left us with some interesting questions at the end of his talk, pushing us a little bit to say, we've looked a lot at what has happened to us in our profession and in our practices. Let's look at what might be, particularly from the perspective of using what we have been experiencing these last 2 days, contemplative practice, as a way of looking forward and how it may become a very useful part of our work as lawyers. But I also want to make a connection, maybe self-evident, but possibly worth mentioning anyway. Our work is very difficult. That's come out over and over and over again. Sometimes the environments that we work in are toxic. And in a number of our sessions, we've talked to one another about the scars and wounds that sometimes that creates. In the trust discussion this afternoon, I was taken by the general tone, especially in my group, where it was sort of implicit that trust is an element of intimacy, of human connection, that's a kind of a natural human drive and a natural human desire. And when we lose that or miss that or find that absent in our relationships, it can be quite significant. It can really be quite significant and add to some of the stresses or wounds that we also encounter in other stressful areas of our work. But Charlie and Susan offered two additional aspects of contemplative work that we did the last 2 days, the yoga and, of course, the Qigong practice. And while those are marvelous for exercise and for a variety of positive health purposes, they also are part of the many healing disciplines that are out there and that can, and I believe really should, be part of our work and our repertoire as contemplative practitioners. We can heal the wounds of anger, whether it's anger directed at us or anger from us directed at others. It does leave a residue, sometimes even a scar. But we don't simply have to say, well, we've got to live with that and try to do better in the future. The practices of and disciplines of yoga and Qigong and a number of others, particularly when addressed with a skilled practitioner, can in fact address some of these wounds that we face and carry around with us and heal us. I'm reminded that it's our co-professionals in the medical profession that have as part of their oath, doctor, heal thyself, physician, heal thyself. I think it would be great to add to our own kind of ethical consideration as we're sort of constructing a new way of approaching our work to say, lawyer, heal thyself.
We've asked Mercedes to join us tonight. And for those of you who don't know Mercedes, this is Mercedes Cano. She's a 1999 graduate of CUNY, about which I've learned way more in the last 4 days than I ever knew. She tells me that after law school, she started a small not-for-profit. And she's been in solo practice doing immigration and criminal defense for how many years? The rest of them? 8 years. And we've asked her to join us because it's nice to hear the voice of one of you, not just us. And in some ways, I see Mercedes as a graduate of our program. She came to California, I thought out of nowhere, but I guess it had something to do with CUNY. I'm learning a lot. 4 years ago, I think she felt, I don't want to speak for you, but I think she felt like she was the most different person that ever showed up there. There was all those Californians and her from the Bronx or Queens. Queens, about which we also know nothing. And there she was, and she sat through it and had a lot of interesting things to say and has come back and has come back. And as I listened to her, and we all listened to her, I can speak for me, I noticed an incredible change. And she was always a beautiful person with beautiful energy and beautiful insights. But we may not think we change, but to watch Mercedes grow into the lawyer she is now has just been wonderful. So,
thank you for joining us. Thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit about how I felt on that very first retreat in California. As soon as the van that took me from the airport that dropped me at Spirit Rock left, and I said, oh my God, what did I get myself into it? Beautiful rolling hills, the place was beautiful, and I saw the program. It was sitting and sitting and sitting. I was like, oh. And I gotta tell you, I didn't think I was gonna make it. I mean, I was sitting there and all these thoughts were coming in and out, and they were saying, oh, just let them go. And I couldn't let them go. They just stuck there. I was in movies. I mean, it was just so hard. And it wasn't a place like this that you could hide in places and nobody noticed that you're missing. It was a place where everybody, it's a small, beautiful place. And I remember talking to Charlie and saying to him, oh my God, this is great. After the second, when I finally on the second, going on the third day, I felt so rested. And I said to Charlie, I can't believe how rested I feel. And he said to me, oh, wait to see what it's going to do to your mind. Well, I left California and I arrived to New York again, to the craziness of New York. And I remember, I think, I don't know if I wrote an email to you saying that, I think I share in California that the only place that I could find to meditate was on my way to criminal court on the EOF train. And I would sit with my bag, making sure that I have it. You know how it is. You have that bag and you're sitting there and just closing my eyes and, you know, meditating before I went to a hearing or to a court appearance. And then I started doing it at home in the mornings and then at night, you know. And I have good weeks, I had good months and bad and whatever. But I think meditation has changed me in more ways that I can describe. And I was sharing before how reactive I usually am, because I am. That's how I got trained. I get trained to react and to protect my client and to be on the lookout for anything that comes my way. And I think this practice, without me really saying that I was going to do it, I have little by little applied to my daily life. And I got to say, it's not easy. It's not easy dealing with our daily lives. I become disenchanted of it so many times. And then so many times again, I get up and I go and I do what I need to do. And I think that the fact that all of us are here today is because we love what we do. And we don't want to do something else. We just want to learn to see if we can do it better. And I think that's the reason why we took this time off to be here. I'm happy when I make these changes and I come here. and I go to California, and God knows everything is piling up. And I have an appearance on Monday, and, you know, it always goes and goes and goes. And then I take little practices that I learned here, like the eating. I used to eat every time, internet, you know, the news, biting a sandwich and talk to my secretary. And I don't do it anymore. When I'm going to eat, that's what I do. I just sit down to eat, and it's so hard. I can't believe how hard it is just to eat instead of doing something else. Little things like that, little changes. And they are bringing me peace, can I say that? Maybe at the end of the day, I can sort of like close my office and go to work and not feel like I'm drowning. You know, because that's how I still feel like I'm drowning sometimes. But it's not that everyday feeling of drowning. And I gotta say that this must be it, because I'm not doing anything else. You know, and you were sharing about having a frame, some sort of frame to work. And this is a great frame to work on. It's free, I mean, at home. You don't have to pay for it. And you could do it basically anywhere. And, you know, take it 5 minutes at a time every day, 10 minutes. I mean, I never last as long as I last here, I got to tell you. At home, I last 10 minutes and I'm picking on the clock. So the support group works one way or the other. And I just got to say that I hope to be doing this until the day that I say no more. I don't want to get out of the practice of practicing law just because I hate it. I remember I used to do a lot of divorces, and I remember seeing this older attorney walking into court one day, and I said to him, good morning, somehow passing by, and he goes, today's my last day. And I go like, really? What are you going to be doing? And he says, I'm going to be teaching high school. I go like, oh my God. So whenever I stop doing this is because I'm going to retire and I'm going to do something else, but not because they drop me out of it, or because I can't control it, or because it controls me. And every time I left one of the retreats in California, there's a little bit of anger in me when I left. Every time I left California, because I'm always saying, they have it easier. They're not in New York, you know? And it seems to me like everybody in California has a little easier living than us here. But it's because, I don't know, maybe I'm comparing myself to them, but I'm always saying, what can I take from that retreat, whatever retreat I was in, and use it in New York? What can I take? And I would not leave California unless I took one thing that I can use every day. Because in reality, we're not going to be surrounded by wonderful people like this Monday when we go to court. Right? We're not. So that's my thing. If I come here, what can I use on Monday? And what can I use repeatedly every day? One little thing. And with that, I'm happy.
My job always to follow a speaker like this. I got to put in a few words for California. The first words are, our April retreat is what, Doug? April what? What is the date of our April retreat, more or less? April 2nd to 6th. It's not so lovely and gorgeous there that you won't get a lot out of it. It's not too easy. It's not too beautiful. And I sincerely invite all of you, if you need a fix, or you need more, or you just want to see the rest of us, please, please come. It's a wonderful weekend in a wonderful facility. This is a beautiful physical facility. That's a beautiful physical facility, and it's also incredibly inspiring, the Spirit Rock Meditation Center. I don't think New York's all that different than California. And I forgot to tell you about myself that my first year of law school was at Fordham, at Lincoln Center, and I was at Fordham in 1967 because the NYU wouldn't admit me because the admissions officer, I told him I was a school teacher, which I was. I was teaching in Bed-Stuy, fourth grade. And he said, oh, don't tell anybody that. Because in those days, you were supposed to go right from undergraduate school to law school. And anybody who did anything in between was suspicious. Not to mention you were extremely suspicious if you were a woman. He said to me, why should you take up the place of a man who's going to have to earn a living and raise a family? And that's how people thought in those days. And for a lot of us, that left scars. And Victor's right, we can't keep nursing those. And maybe that's why I've done yoga all these years. But a lot of what we've talked about this weekend, and specifically because Charlie raised it as an issue, I have a little different take on trust. It's not contrary to anyone said, but it's another way to look at it. You know, in law, we have a lot of one-time meetings. Judges, networking, colleagues, clients. And if you're in private practice, they come interview you. And if you're saying hello to another lawyer, it's a professional encounter. It's really, you're not supposed to become trusting intimate immediately. But we have an option of who we present. Who are we presenting to the world that we want to trust us? In my part of the profession, I find an incredible amount of posturing. I am the best defense lawyer in the world, is almost the first thing any criminal defense lawyer will tell you. And I don't know what you're in, but I just, and it just drives me insane. One, because it's very offensive to be told how important someone else is, implies you're not. And secondly, who's in there? So I think a lot about presenting myself, which one requires knowing who you are. And seeing as you can't present your whole self, if you tried to present your whole self every time you met someone, it would be a very long hello. And I refuse to do, I'm the best lawyer in the world and here's my resume. So what's in between? I don't have any answer for that, really. I think it's everybody's choice, but I think it's a conscious choice. Dress for Success says, I'm really successful, or I want to look like everybody else. I don't know which one it is, but from that to, your handshake to what you say and how you say it. So I started thinking about, I actually, even though I practice in many jurisdictions, I live in a very small town. The town I live in Northern California, and it has 4,000 people. And I work in the county seat, which has 20,000 people. And I've had my office there for many, many years. And we do have the kind of trust that people who work in small communities talk about. You know everybody. You know who not to trust. You know who to trust. It's not easy, because in some ways you have to keep re-earning that trust. You don't get it automatically. But I said to myself, what is it that makes people trust each other in small towns, aside from the obvious that you know everybody? And the first thing that came to my mind was being in the gym naked with opposing counsel. no phoniness there. Whoever she was in court, this is who she is now. And going, having for clients people who you kind of know their life, and then they come in and tell you some horrible story behind their life, and you go, oh, wow, that's who that was, and you have a lot of background. And so what that made me feel was, one of the things I feel that I want to let people know who I want to trust me is my vulnerabilities. Because when I come to know someone's vulnerabilities, I know a lot more about them. It's not the only thing I know about them. I just put it in the whole picture. And so you can't go confessing to the first person you meet everything you did wrong and can't do and don't want to do and are awful at or whatever. But because people often see me as very successful, I try and kind of open a crack in there, and I'm really a person, you know, and I screwed up at this. The other day I was in a transaction. I was selling something, and I wanted to meet the buyer for financial reasons. And, she came in. Man, she was tough. She had it all together. She was very, showing me how wealthy and blah, blah, blah. She had an image. And I couldn't get a sense of who she was at all. And so I just let fall that I really hadn't thoroughly read the documents, which I hadn't. But I knew that's a no-no when you're in a serious transaction. You've got about reading the documents, you know, and I'm a lawyer on top of it. So I just let fall that I hadn't read the documents. And I did that because I wanted to know how she'd react to that, whether she'd say, oh, and she'd relax, or she'd kind of amp up her together message. And let her know a little about me so I can know something about her. Well, she amped up her I'm together message, and I learned nothing about her. And but it was my way of kind of saying, here's me, I want to get to know you. So how we come on in our brief encounters with all the stuff we're learning about ourselves, which we have to know, is a real interesting question to me. So I have no advice to offer, but one of the things we learn about ourselves is our vulnerabilities, and it's always very moving to me when I hear, it's usually Dharma teachers talk about liking that part of yourself. How do you do that? For me, that's been the hardest lesson. How do I come to not only accept, all right, you did okay, you know, don't worry about it. Not that. How do I come to embrace that part of myself and say, yeah, me like you, you like me, this is us. So that's what I'm working on, and it's all part of this question of trust. And so I think we'll open it now for discussion.